Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting, a Hoop Ball presentation. My name is Neil Rochelani. I'm joined here with Devin Ellington. Devin, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Neil, it is going well. I'm in the great Midwest in Kansas City, and we all know what happened yesterday. We're filming this at night for the Tuesday segment, so we know what happened Sunday. There's an awesome buzz around town. I think the Chiefs won the Super Bowl or something like that.
I'm not sure. I don't know. There was a sporting event on Sunday.
Yeah. Some hockey and some college basketball that was real big.
Yeah. No, 100 million people watched that, and I was one of them. I was rooting for your Chiefs. Well, your hometown Chiefs, I should say, or your current town Chiefs. God, what an exciting game. It was kind of like, you know, I thought San Francisco might had the slight edge going in, but then Mahomes just took over there in the fourth quarter. That fourth quarter was incredibly tense and exciting.
It was very good. I think what we're able to see is perhaps, hopefully, a generational talent, in Patrick Mahomes. And honestly, I think this could open up a little dynasty window for the next dynasty in the NFL. I mean, this kid is talented. Andy Reid's not going around or going anywhere.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's on the outskirts of his career. So the AFC, I think, is going to be controlled by those three young quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson.
I think you're absolutely right. I think, well, Brady's probably not going to be back to the Patriots. We'll see. And if he's not, I really don't think he's going to be back. I mean, they won't be great, I should say. Any crazy stories from the town? What do people do when they celebrate in Kansas City? I grew up in a town where when the team won, they would light couches on fire.
I didn't see any couches on fire, but there were fireworks going until about 3:30 in the morning. The Kansas City Police Twitter page put out some fun, interesting stuff and jokes and unfortunately, there was one fatality fireworks incident. So, thoughts are with that family, but it was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, the Super Bowl brings out a lot of celebration, and not always the safest of times.
And a good product. I mean, when's the last time that we got a Super Bowl with, you know, where the commercials weren't the most interesting part? I mean, the product was great. You know, the Super Bowl halftime show was good. I'm sure us men enjoyed it. But, you know, it was good. You know, it was a good product. I mean, only the fourth Super Bowl to be tied at half. So, you know, it was good. Good offense, good defense. You know, great coaching, but unfortunately someone had to win, and we can't just sit there and watch the Super Bowl for 4 days straight.
All right. Well, I will awkwardly transition to, hey, I'm going to shout out our sponsor, mybookie.ag, because you had didn't you have a futures ticket on the Chiefs?
I did. Thank you, mybookie, for having that great plus 700 odds on the Chiefs. Yes.
When did you pick that up?
That was, week 13, 14, right as Patrick Mahomes was getting right back into the whole momentous role, after his kneecap injury.
So you bet, you won, and now you're going to get paid.
I got paid. Yes, I did.
You got paid. So my bookie delivered on all three things. They are our sponsor, so please check them out at mybookie.ag. We do have a matching bonus up to 50%, or 50% up to $1,000 in matching, so up to a $2,000 deposit. If you use our promo code today, T-O-D-A-Y. Anything further to add on them? Do you get paid frequently by my booking?
Oh, it's simultaneous. You know, as soon as the game goes final, you're getting your payout right there. Deposits, withdrawals, they're all so easy. And they have a great reward system as well. It's just, you know, when I first started getting into sports betting, I looked over some sites, and of course I'd heard of Bovada and whatnot, but, you know, as soon as I affiliated myself with my bookie, it was so easy, user-friendly, and a little less intimidating. So I'm glad that they're doing this deposit bonus with us for the listeners that we're gaining and sending over there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I know they do a lot of derivative betting, too, with, like, fantasy sports and things like mm-hmm. that as well, which we're obviously, as part of Hoopball, a big fantasy site. Let's go over to the basketball games. We're recording this on Monday night, the 3rd of February, for the game on the 4th. Before we get to tomorrow's or Tuesday's lineup, we're going to go through tonight's game. Still a couple in progress as we're recording this. Minnesota-Sacramento at halftime, Clippers and San Antonio in the second period. Where do you want to start on tonight's game?
Well, let's just kind of touch on I think probably the Mavericks and Pacers. I think that was one of the first games to get tipped off, as well as the Warriors and Wizards. You know, the Mavericks were five-point dogs to get this game going on the road in Indiana. Rick Carlisle going back to his coaching roots. And the Mavericks pulled this out 112-103, so the total of 215. And that would have been good for a cover on the over. And the Mavericks look great, you know. Porzingis had 38 and 10, I believe, or 12. So he had a double-double. Hardaway was out there for 33 minutes. He contributed. They were also down Seth Curry and Luka Doncic in this. So not only were they down their main guy, but Seth Curry being their, I would say, best overall pure three-point shooter. So, you know, they had an uphill climb, but they sure as heck did it.
Yeah, they did. Like you said, Luka's still out with the ankle injury. Porzingis back, and he, like you said, delivered. On the Indiana side, I guess the story is Oladipo is crawling his way back, coming off the bench, played 23 mm-hmm. minutes. He had a rough night, just 4 of 17 from the field, 1 of 10 from 3-point land. And that probably played a big part in their loss tonight. But Carlisle going back to Indiana. That's I forgot he coached there, and he got the win outright.
Yeah, those early 2000s Indianapolis or Indiana teams, I'm sorry, were fun to watch.
Oh yeah,
Jermaine O'Neal, Jamal Tinsley, Scott Pollard, Carlisle coaching them. It was some fun stuff.
Yeah, he's a great coach. Where do you want to go next?
So the Warriors went ahead and won. So they did not allow the Wizards to cover, which the line was -6.5 to Washington. Over-under was at 233, and that went over as well. So far to start this recap of the card, we have two overs. I don't think we need to spend too much time on this game. I think it's obvious that it's just a couple of pretty bad teams. You know, Bradley Beal had another 40-point game. He's been just bonkers lately. Alex Burks scored 30 for the Warriors. Glenn Robinson III had 22, 6 and 7, so a near triple-double. Warriors went on the road and got a rare victory. Nothing further from me on that, though.
Yeah, I don't see much here either, except the Wizards get up a lot of points, and the over continues to cover on their games, even though it's creeped up pretty high. Speaking of overs, I'm looking at New York Cleveland, 139-134. So if I do the math right, 274 points clearly goes
over. That's some quick wit right there. I could have done that. No.
Yeah, clearly over the 216.
Yes.
In overtime, New York gets the win on the road, 139-134. When it's two bad teams, Claire, I tend to stay off, but New York did cover. They were 2.5-point road favorites. I don't really like talking about these teams either, or these teams as well. Do you have any thoughts on them?
You know, it was another over, so we're 3-0 on the overs. I think shout out to Ira here. He was pretty big on the Knicks, on their money line and the spread once he found out some certain injuries were going either which way. So, shout out to Ira for getting that call out on the Knicks, and that's about all.
Yeah, next game I'm seeing here is Orlando-Charlotte. Orlando gets the win 112-100 on the road. They were they had to be favorites, right?
5-point favorites.
Yeah, 5-point favorites, 203.5 points. So this is another over, 4 in a row, I believe, tonight so far. And another road team winning outright. Strong performance.
Their defense, you know, even without Jonathan Isaac, Steve Clifford is still coaching them. You know what he brings as far as defensive intensity. So as far as just who they are compared to Charlotte, it was hard for them to not win this game. You know, Charlotte, their defense is almost nothing. And Orlando, you know, they still got some capable guys, especially Aaron Gordon and Vucevic, so it was hard for them to give this game away. They tried, but it didn't work.
And they're fighting for the playoff spot. They're the 8th seed right now, and I think they want to make it. Well, Charlotte, I'm not sure they really care. All right, you want to take us to the next game of the night?
Yeah, so the ever so finicky Brooklyn Nets just cannot figure these guys out. I don't like betting on them or against them, but I did so tonight. I took the I think it was 4.5 or 5 points with Phoenix when I got it. And it closed at 2 in favor of Brooklyn. So I got it at a good spot before Rubio was ruled in. And, they just kind of pulled away from the Suns in the third quarter, outscoring them 35-21. 119-97 was the total. Brooklyn covered, and the over-under settled in at 225. So if I'm not mistaken, doing my quick Midwestern mathematical skill set here, that went under.
Yeah, it went under by about 8, it looks like.
All right.
Yeah, this was a tough one to handicap. You know, Kyrie's out with the injury against the knee, and Phoenix is a hard team to really gauge too. They play against good teams really well, and sometimes they don't play against average teams that well.
Right.
It's so hard as well. So hard.
Going all the way from Phoenix to New York, you know, I probably should have considered that a little more, but you know, I thought that 5 points spread was pretty favorable considering they have a decent defensive backbone.
But. Yeah, they do, and they've been a surprisingly. You know, not a good team, but, you know, very competitive team this year.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hop over to Atlanta, where Boston went down there and won 123-115. I'm going to guess this went over. I'm starting up the line right now.
I believe it was. I think it was 231.
No, yeah, 230. Yeah, I'm seeing that as well. So they did get the over. Boston gets the win. And they were favored by 6, I'm seeing. Is that the line you saw? Okay, so they ended up winning by 8. It's just by a bucket there. They didn't have an injury. Marcus Smart, he's one of my favorite players when he was out tonight. Atlanta, of course, missing who are they missing?
They were down Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, Alex Lynn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jeff Teague getting the start.
Trey Young in Atlanta. Was questionable.
Say that again?
Trey Young was questionable to start, but he played.
He did. Yeah, he was questionable, and I thought he might be out longer, but he is back in. Though tonight he struggled with 9 turnovers. Against the Celtics. Otherwise, he's doing his thing, 34.7 assists.
So we have another road team and another over, another road team getting the win. So I think we're starting to see a trend.
We are. Where do you want to go next?
So let's go down to Miami, where the road team 76ers did not get the win. Miami's just hard to beat at home. I think this is probably their 25th victory at home, if I'm not mistaken. The line was 2.5, so they definitely covered. It was, thanks to an 81-point second half, outscored the Sixers 81-54 in the second half to blow them out by 31. Over-under was 212, which I thought was significantly low considering that the Heat have been one of the higher over teams in the NBA this year, especially at home. And I wish I would have pounced on that over-under a little more. But, man, the Heat looked good this year. Jimmy Butler had 38 in just three quarters of play. So, man, kudos to Spoelstra.
That's a good coach. You know, never he's got his recognition now. I did not see this coming. I thought Philadelphia coming off two losses, so Lamb and Boston would come in and put up a fight here. I know Miami's a fun town, but I thought they'd be kind of focused for this game against another top Eastern Conference opponent, and they got lashed 57 in the second half. All right. I am not seeing any more other games.
We had Detroit at Memphis.
Oh, gosh.
And this this was one of the few unders. 82-96 was the total. Grizzlies held Detroit to 10 points in the third quarter, 19 in the fourth. So they did it with defense, not so much explosive offense. The line was 9.5 at closing for Memphis, and they covered that. 224 was the over-under, so well under.
Yeah, these are another couple of teams that it's hard for me to really gauge because the motivation, both from some of the players, we don't know where Drummond's going, if he's going to be shipped off the trade deadline or not. A lot of rumors about him and perhaps how he's feeling about playing organization-like-wise. I think when a team knows their centerpiece may be moved, I don't know how that affects their psyche, but I can't imagine they play harder at any rate. So tonight they lose by 14. All right, as you mentioned, another two other games in progress. So I'm not sure how they're going to play out. Should we jump ahead to Tuesday's card?
Yeah, let's do it. We got four games, but I think we have four really nice matchups. Some good standpoints as far as viewership and fans, and as far as some betting numbers. So let's jump right into it.
All right, I'll lead the way here with Milwaukee, New Orleans. Like you said, this is a fun matchup with Giannis and Zion now playing regular minutes for the Pelicans, looking like everyone expected. High over-under. I don't know. I've never seen one this high in a long time. 244.5. Milwaukee, 6-point favorites on the road here in New Orleans. Do you have any initial thoughts on these guys?
My initial thought was I'm going to jump on the Pelicans right away. You know, 6 points is not that much. They're 27 and 22 against the spread. And as far as a road team, 13 and 10, you know, this is a Milwaukee team that's just clicking. And as far as the over-unders go, we know that New Orleans is an over team. But here's 245 is a lot of points, and I was actually going to give a little spiel as far as where these teams have been as far as offensive rating and net rating and pace of play in favor of the over, but I thought it was going to be set at more of like a 230 mark. But, you know, just for educational sake, Milwaukee is the number one pace team in the last five games, which is crazy to think considering that they're this a little more slower – fundamentally sound basketball team. And then New Orleans is at number five. And as far as net rating goes, Milwaukee's number four, New Orleans is number seven offensive rating. Milwaukee's number six, New Orleans is number eight. So they are, you know, top-notch trends right now in their last five games for an over. But 245 is just, that's a lot of points. Not to mention that both of these guys are top six in defensive rating in their last five. So I just don't know where I want to go other than the spread. I think that's the safest bet here on this game, going with this Milwaukee team who just seems a little unstoppable at the moment. I think the line's inflated because of Zion. I think this should be more of a 10-point spread, in my opinion.
Interesting. I think I'm going to go – I don't like to make bets without doing a lot of research, but this almost feels like I have to bet the under on principle.
Yeah.
I just – I know these teams can get there. It can easily be like a 130 to 120 game, you know, and if you get to 250 or more. I just have to go under. I mean, everything has to go right, and the defenses kind of have to have some lapses first to get there. So – I'm going to bet the under on this, and we'll see what happens.
245, that's just a ginormous number.
I'm trying to think the last time I saw it. I'm sure it's been out there, though. Charlotte-Houston is the second game on the card. I am seeing just a line here on the side, Houston minus 14. Do you see a total?
I do not have one as of right now. And okay. It's probably because Charlotte played tonight.
Yeah.
So they'll probably release that probably first thing in the morning. I will say one thing right away, and that's we all know that I don't like Houston being, you know, multiple, you know, double-digit point favorites at home. They just don't cover. So, you know, as of right now, first looks at this game, I really like Charlotte getting this many points. I think it's probably going to get bet down a lot. Right now, Russell Westbrook's doubtful and Clint Capella is out. So that's even more reason for me to go ahead and take these 14 points.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I think I would lean – I don't know if I'm going to bet it, but I know Charlotte's coming off the back-to-back, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
They're going to have to travel, get to Houston tonight late, and then play them tomorrow night or play them Tuesday night. And I don't and that kind of scares me, but yes, you're right. Westbrook is out. Harden, he's had some horrific night shooting, and he's not going to stop shooting. So he's not been shooting well as of late. He's had a good game last time, but he shoots at like 38% against in the field. This game's going to stay tight, and Charlotte can easily cover.
Yeah. You know, not an official play for me, but that's a lot of points. And Houston, in my opinion, from what I've seen, they just – every time I've tried to back them at home with a large – spread, that it never works out for me. So maybe it's personal bias and I've gotten burnt by them. Yeah. But Charlotte, you know, they can put the ball in the bucket. And they scored 100 on a tough Orlando team tonight. So I know it's a back-to-back and they're not that great against the spread. They're right around 500. But Houston ain't guarding anybody either. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's the thing. Houston's not playing much defense. And they you know, they can miss a lot of shots in three points.
What I would look for is, you know, this is a weird name to throw out there, but Bismack Biyombo, with Clint Capella being out, he could have a monster night on the offensive glass. I'm thinking maybe like 5-6 offensive rebounds, leading to some second chance points, maybe some and-one opportunities going straight back up or kicking it out for Devontae Graham or Terry Rozier to hit in a couple threes.
Yeah, they're still playing. I know I said they're probably not playing for anything, but these young guys definitely want to prove themselves.
Right.
And
right.
When you go up against Houston, you're going up against Harden. You know, you want to show that you can play against the best. So we'll see how they perform. Next game I have here is Portland against Denver. Denver, 4.5-point favorite at home, over under at 224 is what I'm seeing. Both these teams are not going to be coming off a back to back. The regular rest of both these teams. I'm still thinking about this one. Denver's coming off a nice win, I believe, against their last outing. Portland, Damian Lillard's been setting the world on fire.
Oh my goodness, telling me.
So, I don't know. I mean, normally I would say Portland, but I feel like the streak is going to come to an end at some point.
Maybe it's
in the altitude. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
It's such a hot streak, and it's so many high numbers that it does have to come down a little bit. But one thing I will say about Portland, I've dogged on them a lot about being one of the worst teams against the spread in the NBA. They've actually went 4-1 against the spread in their last five. You know, they are, as far as some net rating numbers here go, they are 5 in the NBA in their last five games with a net rating. of plus 8.3. Offensively, rating wise, they are number one in offensive rating in their last five games. We can probably point the finger of who's responsible for that. You know, and Denver's just middle of the pack, you know, right around top 15, you know, right around 13 in a lot of these different ratings. And as far as pace goes, we know that Portland typically likes to play pretty fast. They are 10th right now in their last five. Denver's all the way down at 21st. It's a home game for Denver. I've talked about it before. I like when the home team has a slower pace of play and they have to slow that quicker team down. I feel like it's easier to get in half-court sets, especially for a team like Denver. With that being said, Denver's pretty atrocious against the spread. They're under 500 at home against the spread. The over-under for them at home is 10 and 15 to the under. And Portland is 11, 14, and 1 to the under on the road. Denver's also still pretty banged up, but, you know, for me, I think this is a stay-away game just because it's so conflicting. And a lot of these numbers are inflated for Portland right now just because of the tear that Damian Lillard's been on before, you know, this tear he went on. You know, just for comparison's sake, on the season, Portland offensive rating-wise, you know, they were all the way down to 8, 9, which is still pretty good, you know, top 10 in the league, but their net rating wasn't anything to really write home to mom about. You know, they were number 16. So you see these numbers being inflated just because of the offensive efficiency that McCollum, mostly Lillard, and a little bit of Melo has been bringing to Portland. So punt game for me, great matchup. I would like to see Denver be a little more healthy to get a little more fireworks going. But, you know, if I'm going to play anything, it's a slight lean to the under.
Interesting. I wonder, I was wondering if Carmelo coming back to Denver would mean anything.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
No, it's been a long time since he's been there.
Very long time.
Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the fans will appreciate him. I don't know what the hell to feel about him.
Yeah.
I would have to lean. I'm getting 4.5 points against a very hot Portland team.
Yeah.
This line moves against them as well. Like, it started at 5, down a little bit. If it goes back to 5, I might lean Portland. I can't take them with that many points.
Sorry. The one thing that I kind of hang my hat on is if it's more than a bucket and it's a slow team like Denver, who goes under quite a bit, you know, it's hard for me to back them against a heavy offensive juggernaut who's hot to, you know, try to beat that team by more than a bucket. You know, the 5-6 point mark is it's a little more eerie for me.
Yeah, I agree. And Portland just seems to be competing with everyone these days. They've got they have a reason now. I think he makes a big difference.
Yeah, he's been looking good for them. You know, great defender. I think he's averaging like 12 a game with them since he's joined. So not bad at all for a reason. I think he was able to get out of that Sacramento situation. He's much happier in Portland. And, you know, don't be shocked if Portland sneaks in at the, you know, 7 or 8 seed in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're still fighting for it. We know Lillard is. We know that team was well coached. And I think they'll fight for the playoff spot. All right, the last game of the night, San Antonio in Los Angeles. Lakers, heavy favorites here. No surprise. 11.5 points. 229 is what I'm seeing on the over under. I am always scared, Devin, to lay double digits with any basketball team. I don't know how the Lakers' psyche is. You know, they had that tribute last game. They had the game before it was off. They did not really look like they were into it, understandably so. Ended up losing to Portland last time out. I think sort of the eeriness, maybe that's over. You know, the whole, like, the tenseness of playing basketball with all that hanging on you might have moved on. But it's still, double digits still too much for me. I'm going to say this.
Yeah. You know, we all saw what happened the first game after Kobe's passing, which, as terrible as it is, you know, it's still something that's there and will be, especially for this Lakers organization. they were a 10-point, 11-point favorite against Portland. Portland ended up winning outright. I still don't think they have any business being a 10-point favorite. You know, this San Antonio team, they're not absolutely terrible. You know, they've kind of turned it around. You know, they just beat Utah. They had a string of three where they lost to Chicago, Toronto, and Phoenix. But this is a team that beat New Orleans, and then they beat Miami. You know, they only lost by six to Miami the other game they played. So this is a team that's competing. They're better against the spread on the road at 12-9-1 versus their home record of 9-17. And the Lakers are only 11-10-1 against the spread at home. It's a lot of points. And like you said, the psyche of this Lakers team, it's tough. It's still tough. You know, this Kobe thing is still affecting us and a lot of other people who weren't as closely involved with this organization or Kobe Bryant in general. And you don't move on from something like that, you know, quickly. So I think the Lakers, sure, they want to win it for Kobe. They probably will win it, but I don't know if it's by 12.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of points. I could see this being a tight ball game and find a way to win at the end.
Not to mention, right now the Spurs are up on the Clippers at halftime, 63-54. And it is a back-to-back. It's the Los Angeles road trip, but they're competing with the Clippers team right now. So, I mean, it's still Greg Popovich, for Pete's sake. You know, they got LaMarcus Aldridge and DeRozan. Bryn Forbes is not terrible. Jakob Poeltl's a defensive presence. It's Greg Popovich, and that's probably where I'm going to leave that. 12 points is a lot.
It's a lot. And it is, like you said, it is a back-to-back, but it's in the same building, so they don't have to. It's a different type of back-to-back.
So, if anything, they're comfortable. You know, it's not two different venues.
Exactly. They don't have to travel, probably stay in the same hotel, all that stuff. So all the logistics don't really matter.
Yeah.
Just the rest, which these guys are top-notch athletes. I don't think that's the best.
Right.
All right. That will do it for the NBA card. I know you like to bet other things as well.
Absolutely, I do.
I know you mentioned you had one college pick. You want to talk about that first?
Yeah. So we all know how I feel about the Midwest. It's where I reside, and I've got some action, what I like to call it. I didn't coin the phrase, ESPN did, but I got some action here. Northern Illinois, the Huskies, taking on the Toledo Rockets. Toledo is at home, favored by 6. But I'll tell you what, this Toledo team is 9th worst in the country as far as against the spread. And that's out of 300 and some odd teams. So not a good spot to be in. They're 1-8 against the spread at home. And in Northern Illinois' last 5 games, both against the spread and straight up, they are 4-1. Toledo's 0-7 against the spread in their last 7 at home. And not to mention, just in general, Toledo is 2-12 against the spread in the last 14 games. Northern Illinois is kind of rolling right now, you know, like I said, with that 4-1 streak in their last 5. And not to mention their last 10 games against Toledo, they're 7-3 against the spread. This Northern Illinois team, I like them. They're pretty feisty. I wouldn't be shocked if they came out and got the win outright. You know, they are a pretty evenly matched team, but Northern Illinois has some rankings, you know, in certain categories that give me a little more faith. Not to mention, these numbers for Toledo against the spread are just pretty terrible. You know, 9th worst in the country against the spread is just with 340-some-odd collegiate teams. That's pretty really bad. You know, Northern Illinois doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Conversely, so Toledo doesn't cause a lot of turnovers. So, yeah, look for Northern Illinois to maybe squeak out a win and to cover that 6 points.
I think I should get on some action tomorrow night.
Action, I love it. It's a good middle of the week kind of thing.
Yeah, I like it. What about anything on the hockey front?
So the hockey, you know, I leave that to Ira. I tell him. He's man, speaking of Ira, he is hitting these pizza money hockey parlays like it's nothing. Tomorrow the Knights play the Lightning, so I'm sure he'll have some tweets go out in regards to that game. I know he has a futures ticket on the Knights. They're getting plus money on the road against Tampa Bay, so I know he's talked a lot about the Lightning and the Knights in the past, so that's something that he'll probably look into. The Kings are playing the Caps. The Kings are his local team there, so I'm sure he'll have something to say about that game. Stars and Islanders, a little bit of maybe perhaps some good matchups there, depending on who's in goal. And then the Avalanche and the Sabres could be a real fireworks offensive-based game, in my opinion. But I'm not going to hand out any picks. I don't want to screw anyone over on that front.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot following basketball. It's tough to do two sports at the same time. You want to be good at them. But mentioning Ira's Twitter, we should talk about our Twitter handle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and start?
Yeah, so I'm at DALLIE007, and that's DALLIE007. And Neil, you are?
I am at Ball with Neil, BALLWITHNEIL, on Twitter as well. So feel free to hit me up there.
And then the Twitter page for all of us is Hoopball Gaming, all one word.
So. That's right. Hoopball Gaming is for all of our tweets. We'll go through there and our picks tomorrow as not just the ones we talked about tonight, but the ones that we feel more confident about tomorrow will be to Al and also Ira. I know he is very active in betting. And he's been doing great this season. Any last thoughts?
You know, go Chiefs, Super Bowl champs.
Super Bowl champs, first time in 50 years. Congratulations.
First time in 50 years for the 100th season of the NFL, so it's kind of pretty cool. But, yeah, you know, it's going to be a fun slate tomorrow. We got some really great, enjoyable basketball games. Or tonight, sorry. We're recording at night. So.
Yeah, recording my night for Tuesday. I believe these games should be great. So thanks for listening again to Today in Sports Betting, a Hoopball presentation. Our sponsor, once again, is mybookie.ag. Use the code TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y, to get up to 50% matching, up to $1,000 in bonuses. And we'll be back on again tomorrow night.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.